I'm Russ White for MSU Today. As always, privileged to be back in the company of Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon for our summertime update, this time on all things MSU. President Simon, always appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much, Russ, and we appreciate the way in which you and your colleagues are able to communicate about Michigan State.
Well, thank you. We try to do our best. A lot on Detroit in this update that we're going to get to, but there's just a couple of big issues in the news that we wanted to get you to reflect on. First, the tragedy in Orlando.
Well, I'm always shocked by senseless violence that is rooted in hatred. And I know that it ripples not simply in the Orlando community and those who are directly touched because of the violence and hatred, but also to our own LGBTQAI community, because they feel that hatred could spring up anywhere. So it really means that we have to redouble our efforts to try to make sure that we our society that is respectful of various points of views and lifestyles, and at the same time remember that all people who are part of our community are Spartans.
And President Simon, as we're meeting, news has broken that Ron Mason, university icon and hockey coach, has passed away. To your thoughts on Ron?
Well, Ron not only was the winningest hockey coach when he left coaching, now it's been eclipsed by those who coached a bit longer, but also took up a role as university leader for the athletic department at a really critical time. And we know that our hearts and our prayers go out to the Mason family. Roy's already talked to Cindy this morning to offer our personal condolences. But these are ends of eras in many ways for not only a family but a university. And I think we need to pause and reflect that it's not simply about a win or a loss, but it's about the contributions that people like Ron Mason made to all those young men who were part of the program, but all those people who were part of hockey. I mean, he was always watching hockey games of little tykes as well as people who were, you know, moving on in the Muskegon team or this team or that team. And he kept in touch with his players as they moved beyond playing into other endeavors in their lives. And that's really what you want of an individual, not simply somebody who's good with where the puck should be, but somebody who's really good with people. And it came as a shock to all of us because he was, you know, very, very active. But it's a good lesson as well that people need to be attentive to their own health and take care of themselves, because that way you take care of others.
Catching up with Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon on MSU Today. President Simon, at the recent Mackinac Policy Conference, you and your fellow University Research Corridor presidents released some data showing the UR institution's impact on Michigan's economy. A lot of data there and a lot of information that people can find, but a couple of key takeaways you'd like people to remember from this year's report.
Well, I think that the URC was often viewed as a political statement, not a genuine collaboration. And it is a political statement to the extent it's our role, our responsibility to show people around the country, around the world, that the intellectual assets, the intellectual infrastructure represented often by things like the Research Triangle or the institutions in Boston or Cleveland or Pittsburgh or Austin, where folks are using those as magnets for economic development, that's right here in Michigan, represented by those three universities. And we've been persistent in our benchmarking about how we rank, and we're ranked very high in the production of STEM graduates. We rank lower compared to the benchmark areas on entrepreneurship, and we're working on that. We're getting better, but others are getting better too, and so the ranking hasn't much changed. Then in addition to that, annually we've done sector reports, you know, water, life sciences, automobile over periods of time. And this year it was on Detroit. And part of that was benchmarking our economic contribution to Detroit with Wayne State as the anchor institution in that community, but others being very actively engaged. And quite frankly, the research number was about the same as we did for water. So I was a little surprised at that number. I think that everybody's making an effort to purchase through Detroit, purchase locally, in ways that help to build the economy. And then there are just a lot of projects, almost 400 projects that are underway, along with, you know, the sustaining elements of MSU extension being there. And so it's really a packed room. An impactful report, but one that I think will be a benchmark when we do it 10 years from now to chronicle our role in the resurgence of Detroit, which is good for all of us.
And President Simon, you served on an interesting panel with a futurist named Brian David Johnson. I thought there were some interesting topics you two exchanged. Again, people can watch these online at the Detroit Chamber site, but what struck you about your chat with Brian?
Well, I mean, I think we all have to be futurists in our own way. And we had a chance to talk privately as well as on stage. I think what he was trying to say is that, you know, he got his start, I think, as a futurist by trying to design a chip that would be the chip for 10 years from now as opposed to tweaking the chip for today. And I think that sort of mindset about how you really, you know, work at actively designing a future, not simply by waiting for it to happen to you, is one of the messages out of that set of comments. I'm not sure it was as clear as it could have been in the Q&A, but one of the messages that I took away, because oftentimes when you think about the future, you put a bunch of factors on and everything is being done to you, not what you can do to help shape that. And I think universities in their own way are very actively engaged in creating tools, ideas, solutions that can be used for the future and help to shape that future. The second thing about the message is that, you know, technology is here to stay, as our technology-assisted parts of our life, whether they're robots or bots or you know, Watson answering questions. And that I was really struck by his answer on the question of liberal arts. And he would tell you that everybody needs to learn how to code. And we've been saying that actually for a while. Your sons are in engineering. They got that message right away that no matter what field of engineering they're in, they need to learn how to code. Business students are getting that message. Liberal arts students should do that as well because, as he said, it takes liberal arts students to make sure the robot acts in an ethical and appropriate fashion, not just that it acts. And that's really going to be the future of robots in our lives. They can't take over because they can only approximate things human. And we have to take responsibility for them. They don't figure out things on their own, but we can put parameters on them, and that's why the coding piece becomes so important. And the other thing I think that we talked a bit about was you know, how you think about what all of us need to do in terms of futurists. And it's sort of use my golf analogy up there, which is my new analogy. You have to sort of, you know, I talk about seeing around the corner in the language I've used very often in the leadership pieces. But there's still a tendency to want to see around the corner and then sort of go up to the corner and make a turn and get to it. And what you see with the walking the course backwards, I've used reverse engineering as the phrase, so it's all the same concept, is that if you plan backwards from where you are instead of only looking forward, you might find a way to use the golf analogy, cut the dog leg a bit, and not accrue a lot of risk because of talent and skill and because you have a sense about what it takes to be on the other side of that work, and not simply try to avoid the trees that are in front of you, because you could have a couple trees in front of you in the dog leg analogy, but it opens up to a bigger space right behind them. And other trees have only trees behind them or water. And you need to know that and think about it in a particular way. Never be perfect. And there are always going to be errors and mistakes. But that's true if you imagine a hole straight in front of you, but you still have trees and sand traps and water and other things in the way. It just feels more comfortable because you can see all of those things. And what we have to do is be able to work with the unknown in pretty dramatic fashion because of the pace of technology and the things around us. And also to do that because we have to conserve energy and resources. And that will require us to think about that future a little bit differently in order to be sure that there, in the case of Michigan State, there's great value. In the case of a chip maker, that they've done the appropriate research for those things they need to imagineer for the future.
President Simon, our now internationally renowned Dr. Mona Hanna-Attisha, one of the heroes of the Flint water crisis, certainly did her part at Mackinac to keep that topic on the front burner, which, as you've said, we've been involved in Flint for a long time.
We have. I mean, Extension's been there for 100 years. They were there to respond by adjusting, information about what to eat, how to cook it, what to do in ways to minimize the effect of lead. But they're there anyway because, the plan was to think about them working together with the College of Human Medicine and the Mott chairs, as well as the people on the ground educating our students and our residents like Mona, to really pull that together in a dynamic way. And we knew that there would be really a huge blip in Flint just looking at the demographics as well as the future. If you think about the future of Flint, they're not big developers to come in and help save some of those neighborhoods. Mott Foundation has done an extraordinary job, but they need jobs, they need better education, they need lots of things. And we have been working with the Mott Foundation. That's really why we did the Mott Fellows on health and health disparities in Flint. And they've proven to be invaluable as we've written grants to do things which are really critical. But Mona has been the person who is the face of moving on and turning and not seeing this as an engineering problem where we fix a pipe, but seeing it as an opportunity to fix a community. And also recognizing that it's not fixing the community by us fixing a pipe. It's really having the community very, very actively involved in helping shape those solutions, even though sometimes those aren't the ones that people from the outside want to hear. We have to both inform, it's a land-grant role, inform with great research and great knowledge, make it accessible to people, work with people, and believe that they will make wise choices for their future, because everybody wants a better future. And I think part of Mona's piece there as well was really saying that this is a long-term issue. It's not going to be fixed tomorrow. Some things can be fixed, but we have to work on this and make Flint, in the ag sense, the demonstration project, because this is happening in communities around the country, not in the same way, but the basic elements are there, so that we can figure out what works, what doesn't, and what we can do together to make lives better.
Catching up with Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon on MSU Today. And President Simon, before we leave the Mackinac Policy Conference, just your general reflections on it. Each one kind of has its own ebb and flow and kind of identity. What do you take away from this year?
Well, I think that we continue to be a state that can celebrate enormously our success and not get trapped in the fact that we still are struggling from the effects of the recession, of the changing nature of work, and the need for us to see these things, whether they're Detroit or K-12 education or things like Flint, as not simply their problem but our problem. And I think that came through more in the conference this year than in other years. I think this capacity to both celebrate progress and be doggedly determined that we've got lots of work yet to do together is, you know, beginning to emerge in that Congress. There was obviously a lot of frustration on the island because the Detroit public school issue had not been resolved. And so that frustration, I think, was very apparent in lots of quarters, you know, because time does matter. I mean, if you think about Flint, time matters. Time matters. Being able to, I don't want to say, and being able to move on these issues one way or the other, you know, and get working on them is really critical. And so that frustration was obviously there, as it remains in Detroit, because the bill's a compromise. But we have to make compromises work, you know, because we are an imperfect world. Even if people are working with the best of intentions, they have different points of view, and those compromises can be very difficult sometimes to deal with. But if we sort of define them only as wins and losses, you won, I lost, they won, we lost, but as a platform for trying to find a better tomorrow. I think that was a part of what Mona was trying to talk about in her TED talk, or her TED-like talk, I should say, or Mackinac moment. That's what I think, if you look at the URC report, over all the things we're doing in Detroit before it was fashionable to do them, you know, it came through there, and that you just got to move on and figure out this is a new base, and we got to still work because we need very well educated kids in our state. We need more college graduates in our state. We need the intellectual infrastructure. And the comment I made really there and at Detroit Economic Club is, if we're not really careful, and Detroit represents an example of letting intellectual infrastructure decay. It's easy to see it when you have a pothole in your road. But we're also going to learn from Detroit that takes a while to get it back. And unlike a road where you can really fix it and it looks new, you know, how do you fix a child, you know, who has lost 5 years of reading and hope to get it back in, because it's neurodevelopment. We can work on it. Or how do you sort of, you know, fix a child that's, you know, like a road that's been exposed to all the factors, not just lead. And it means we have to work together and work diligently and put a lot more emphasis on intellectual infrastructure and community infrastructure, people infrastructure, not simply roads or bridges or, you know, fun for jobs. We got to worry about this holistically and make it our collective problem and challenge. But not so much a problem in that it's a deficit, but really an opportunity to move this state forward if we think about it that way. But if we don't prioritize intellectual infrastructure, then it turns into a huge mess, and it takes a while to fix. And we can't afford that in a knowledge-based economy that's global and heating up. We can't. Any of us can't face that. And I worry that universities are doing okay now, so we're not the biggest pothole on the road or the bridge that will be judged as being okay and not subject to needing to have a fix. But that down the road, how do we know that without careful attention, you know, and really a sense that this is a common public good, that it will continue? And again, you can't fix it like a road or a set of pipes. But it's easy when we don't want to spend money and things are okay,
to spend $45,000 for a prisoner and $6,000 for a student and wonder what happened.
Fascinating thoughts, President Simon. We recently announced also the MSU Detroit Center for Urban Food Systems, which will facilitate best practices for food and non-food plant production and a variety of related community support activities. I know we're early in the project, but
I'm not sure announced is the right
word. Well, the word has come out, but yeah. What about that project as we're early? Do you want people to know?
I think we've always done this. I mean, so this is really a consolidation of a set of initiatives that we're doing with a recognition that consolidation is really important. Because if you look at the report, if you look at the map of what, you know, all those urban gardens, the work that Mike Hamm did in Metro Food Plus to get that set up. The question is, how do you coalesce and focus some of those activities? And then the bigger question is, when we do that, can we help a neighborhood? And is there a leveraging factor, not simply as a demonstration project, but for a neighborhood? Do we have partners? Both in the private sector and in the not-for-profit, in the community, who are willing to think about this in a particular way that helps us to consolidate some of our work. So there's a one-stop shop to look at how to think about soil remediation. And there's a one-stop shop to think about the various aspects of the urban food system. So that you can not only have a person in an office, but you can see some things happening in new and different ways. And those ideas can be moved to other parts of the city because you have a bit of that land, much like if you go to a ag bio center in the Thumb, you'll have an aggregation of work that helps to be interdisciplinary, to move more rapidly because there's a community voice about it all. It's not just us across growers and processors and the economic aspects as well as the environmental aspects. And how does that move into, you know, food systems and advice about food systems right away? We do that in the Saginaw Thumb with sugar beets and dry beans. We do it in Traverse City regarding cherries and wine and other things. And we do it, you know, in Clarksville or with apples. Right. You know, so these are not new things to us. So how do you think about the things that are best grown in urban settings in varieties of ways? What do we do about moving some of that together in a little bit larger scale? And how do we then tie that to the development of a neighborhood, a community? And we're looking for some land. We won't own the land because that really has to be of Detroit, but that it's ours to care for under our auspices. And that we try to put these packages together with local developers and with not-for-profits to see how that food system piece can move a neighborhood forward. And you know, we'll still be in the Eastern Market. We'll still be in all the other neighborhoods. So this isn't a consolidation. This is another way of thinking about using a sense of place to improve what we're doing.
And lastly, on Detroit, President Simon, I understand there are quite a few exciting internships going on. We have more students than we have internships for, but a major effort there now.
Well, Detroit by the semester in Detroit, and we want to thank Dan Gilbert and actually Wayne State for housing students. Even the newly minted PhD faculty member running the program is living in the residence hall because housing is so hard to find in Detroit. But they're doing a variety of projects. That group is doing a variety of projects. Including working with the Park Service, and that are doing their own projects. We want to thank, again, Rock Ventures, Dan, for a Quicken Loan family of companies, right. I probably should say, for supporting that and helping us, and we intend to grow that. In addition, there are numbers of kids doing just basic internships in Detroit through a variety of companies, including Quicken, as well as not-for-profits. two new twists to that for this year, since that number has been growing, as the report suggests, was to allocate some interns' work to work on the mayor's initiative about the employment of high school students this year. And we're really pleased to be a part of that. And secondly, working with Sue Mosley in Midtown. Most people would credit Sue Mosley with being that community partner, that visionary but tenacious community partner in the development of Midtown. And we're going to assign some interns directly to her. She has been part then of the idea about implementing the aspects of the Innovation Zone report that I was a part of a year ago, over the last year or so, that includes Corktown up through Midtown. And using those interns to help foster and sustain some of the efforts we need in the Innovation Zone. So that's really great. And over the summer, we'll also, I think, open the Composite Center in Corktown that sits next to the light metals work of University of Michigan. We're part of that, but they're more of a lead in that. We're the lead nationally. It's really neat that there were like 8 or 10 of these centers nationally. Two of them are in Michigan, one led by Michigan State, the other led by the University of Michigan. So that's really terrific, and both in Detroit.
President Simon, as we close, I'd just like to ask you what anything else you're kind of reflecting on this summer, or you want Spartans to maybe think about coming up in the fall, or what else are you pondering these days?
Well, I think we're always trying to think about ways that we can be better tomorrow than we are today, and I think you'll see some of those with the work of IPF in Baldrige. Alumni Association's done some strategic planning to try to better connect to young alums. We're going to sort of continue to work on finishing up the campaign, and not simply finishing it in a numerical sense, but really building the basis for the next campaign. And so I think those are things that you'll see. You know, we continue to try to figure out how to improve the neighborhood concept, and I think we're neighborhood 3.0 where we are now. We've convened a group of our African partners to think not simply about what we're doing tomorrow, but what it looks like in the future, sort of Africa partnerships, you know, 2020 or 2025. And we've got some great ideas about that, so we feel really good about all that work. We've got new deans coming in a variety of places with great energy and enthusiasm and ways of moving not only, you know, for tomorrow, but down the road a bit in terms of that futuristic thinking. So we're really clear about that. We've got a plan about how to be the food university of the future, not just of today. And those are all really terrific ideas. And I'm going around telling everybody they need to learn how to be a coder. But it's not necessarily taking a class, but you can go online and learn a lot about coding. Not because you want to be a heads-down coder, but because you need to understand that as the language of the 21st century. So you need this is not to say don't do foreign language, but everybody needs to have the language of the future, and that will be understanding coding in the sense of what it means. It's not really the old stuff that we would put under computer science, but it's something for the future. And so I'm telling folks to get their kids engaged in coding.
President Simon, thank you very much for again sharing your insights with us on MSU Today.
Well, thank you very much, Russ.
That's Michigan State University President Luanna K. Simon. Keep up with all her busy activities at president.msu.edu. And I'm Russ White for MSU Today.